Hello, hello, y'all. Today we are talking about advice for dating as a teen. Adolescence is really, really, really hard. We think as children that as soon as we're teenagers, when we can drive, when we can, you know, be older, bigger, whatever your milestone is, that everything's going to be awesome. And things are awesome. Some things are awesome. But other things are really, really, really hard. Adolescence is a very vulnerable time. There is a lot of heart formation that's going on. There are a lot of physical changes happening that are vulnerable, vulnerable, vulnerable physical changes. There's this huge bursting desire to be with your peers, but there's also this sense of like, sometimes my peers are kind of mean. Like people are mean and people don't do what I want them to do and people like hurt me on purpose or not on purpose. There's this whole sense of like, are my parents trustworthy? Do I like them? Do I want to be with them? Some people really do, which is a huge blessing. Some people really don't, which is really hard. So I just kind of want to set the stage of like, adolescence is really hard and I promise it gets better. I promise it gets better. Middle school and high school is just, it's a pretty brutal time. And I just wish that I could personally be like a mentor to every single one of you because I see and hear how tough it is. And I used to do teen ministry and it was just such a blessing to get to like pour into these people. So I hope and pray that you have a lot of people in your life who can pour into you. So that's kind of the framework that I want to start out this with is like, I see you and I see how intense this season of your life is and how deep down in your heart, there's so much going on that people don't even see on the surface. And yeah, you're just longing for happiness like all of us are, but it's a lot harder to get there and to find it and to find contentment and to find peace as a teen. So that's my framework for starting this conversation. So when it comes to dating, I have kind of a controversial opinion about this, and that is that I don't always think it's prudent for teenagers to be dating. That shocks people because I do a lot with discerning marriage. I love dating. I love talking about dating. I'm a marriage and family therapist, so I like clinically do a lot with marriages and helping relationships thrive and all that stuff. But here are the reasons why I think exercising intense caution as a teenager when you're dating are a big deal. Number one, you are still growing up. So everything that happens in your childhood from the time you're a baby to the time you like graduate high school, everything that happens in that whole span of time affects the trajectory of your future in a way that nothing else will, right? The year, you're like a sponge. Developmentally speaking, you're like a sponge. Your ability to like soak in new ideas and form your opinion, all of that changes dramatically in adulthood, in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s and your 50s. I mean, I think you can appreciate how people get really rigid and they're not very rigid most of the time in adolescence. So everything you're taking in is so formative for the rest of your life. It is a season, a period of time, a season in your life that I think should really be cherished. I think it should be really protected. Ideally, it would be protected by your parents. Not all parents are able to do that. Not all parents know they should do that. A lot of the parents take it very personally when you have the kind of adolescent outbursts that come with hormonal surges that are coming. You're probably like, she just said hormonal. I have to turn this video off. But it's true. I'm always, if you're around me and my stuff long enough, you'll know like I shoot straight with you. Like we're just going to talk about it. So all the hormonal changes in your body that lead to a lot of mood swings and a lot of anger and a lot of angst, like all of that stuff is huge. And I think a lot of parents don't know how to navigate it. So if your parents are not able to accompany you in that space, I'm really sorry, but they ought to be. But if they're not willing to protect your adolescence, I would love to empower you to protect it yourself. And that means being mindful of who's able to influence you, right? Again, ideally, your parents would be people who would be able to influence you. Now, it's different than when you're a child, but they're hopefully you have a relationship of like respect with them, that their opinion carries weight in your mind. But if not, you have a father in heaven who loves you, and you have a mother, Mama Mary, who loves you, who are respect worthy. Respect worthy? I don't think that's right. They're worthy of your respect, and they're never going to steer you wrong. So scripture and church teaching are so beneficial to help form your heart and help preserve and protect this vulnerable stage in your life. When you're looking for answers about like what to do and who you are and what matters and what you should think about something and all of this stuff, God has those answers for you. He really, truly does. And I think adolescents are really in touch with that desire to be seen and known and loved. Everybody has it, but I think you guys in particular are in touch with it. And orienting that toward the Lord and getting those answers from Him are huge. So whether or not you choose to date, I think the vast majority of your time ought to be spent informing yourself in who God is and who you are and how he created you, why he created you as a boy or why he created you as a girl, the male and female differences, both in your heart and in your body, like why those exist, what to do with all of the like hormonal surges, right? The physical changes going on in your body, the extreme sexual desires that you have that feel completely overpowering at times, those sorts of things. I think figuring out what to do with those, why God gave them to you, why they matter, because they do matter and they are good and beautiful and holy, but your responsibility for what to do with them determines how they play out in your life, right? So these holy desires can be twisted into something that is extremely dangerous for your soul, but they can also be something that becomes really life-giving. So spending the vast majority of your time learning and educating, praying, right? Being in close communion with God so that you can learn who he is and who he created you to be. And then the next biggest span of your time ought to be filled with service. So service primarily to your family, to your parents, and to your siblings, to the people in your community, your neighbors, particularly elderly neighbors or young families that have little kids. But then beyond that immediate circle, people who are deeply in need. So the poor, the homeless, the hungry, figuring out how you can serve those people. So the primary two places in your life that ought to be commanding your time are prayer and formation and then service. If you have any time left over, that ought to be spent with friends. And after that, it ought to be spent in dating, which is very different than I think most people spend their time. Also, of course, like go to school. But when you're not at school, these are, I feel like, how you ought to be spending your time. So when you actually think about it, a lot of people don't have time for the quality dating that they want to be doing when they're orienting their life and their time properly. But most of you are here because you want to date and you want to know what to do when you're dating. And you are probably over me telling you that you don't that I don't necessarily think it's a great idea for you to be dating. But if you want to date, here's how to do it. I have one really, really, really important thing. If you get nothing else from this video, I want you to listen to me. Please don't have sex. Please don't have sex. Please wait. Wait, 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 wait. Not because sex is bad or dirty or awful or yucky. Not because it's something you need to be ashamed of. Not because it's terrible. Not because any of the negative things you've heard or fear-mongery things you've heard. I'm asking you to wait because it is so good and so holy and so beautiful. And it communicates something very specific, not only about who God is, which may be a mind-blowing idea, but it communicates something about who you are and what you deserve and what your worth is. When you engage in sex in a way that does not uphold your dignity, that's not the way that humans are meant to be engaging in sex, it communicates something to you about who you are that is a lie, right? You can start to think that you're bad. You can start to think that you're dirty. You can start to think that you're worthless. You can start to think that you don't matter to people. You can start to think about the opposite sex as like evil or vicious or untrustworthy or not worth your time or any sort of negative thing you can think about the opposite sex. When you are in adolescence, you are so spongy. You're taking in so many different things. And when you add sex into this picture, the things that are communicated to you through the action and the things that you learn are not true, but they affect the trajectory of the rest of your life. So if you're going to date, the one piece of advice I have, do everything you can to not have sex. If you've already had sex, what I want you to do is I want you to go to confession. I want you to tell the Lord that you recognize that you didn't know what you were doing, maybe you weren't aware of the implication, you just really wanted it, whatever. Tell him all the reasons that you wanted to do it. Ask for forgiveness. Make an act of trust that you trust that his design is better, even if you don't understand it. Receive the mercy and then start your life new again when it comes to your sexuality and tell the person that you're dating that you don't want to have sex anymore. If they get angsty about it, just break up with them. Just break up with them. It will be really hard. It will feel in some ways like a divorce because the intimacy that you shared is meant to be shared in a relationship that never ends, right? That doesn't end until death. So it will feel terrible, but it is better for you than staying in the relationship. And then either in this relationship, if y'all cut sex out, or in your new relationship, if you decide to take another one, make sure that you are setting up your time so that you are in public spaces all the time. There is no reason for you to be alone in a bedroom ever, because you're probably just going to end up doing physical intimate stuff that is not in keeping with your dignity. Make sure that you are serving. So like, spend a lot of dates going out to the soup kitchen, and spend a lot of dates going to mass, and spend a lot of dates like helping an elderly neighbor paint her house or weed her garden or whatever. Like, spend a lot of time with your families. Spend a lot of time with friends, and make sure that you are mindful of the purpose of dating. If you don't feel like you want to get married in the next couple of years, then either reconsider being in the relationship and take some time apart, or set really firm boundaries around your emotional and physical intimacy so that you can make sure you have freedom to explore whatever you want to do with your life. So going to college or getting a job or getting some trade formation or going on mission work or, you know, what, going on a gap year overseas, like whatever you want to do, it's important to make sure you're giving yourself the space to do those things, because you're never going to get another adolescence. Once it's gone, it's gone. You have plenty of time to be a grown-up. So engaging in grown-up behavior like dating when you're a teen keeps you from being able to do teen things. But when you're a grown-up, you'll have plenty of time for grown-up things like dating. You won't have time for the teen things. So that is an unpopular opinion. It's unpopular with teens, and it's unpopular with parents, because I think teenagers just want to date. And okay, I hear you. But why do you want to date? What is the point of it? And then what are you going to do when you're there that preserves your innocence and your integrity and the gift of yourself? So I hope that was helpful. I'm on Instagram. If you're allowed to be on Instagram, my handle is @discerningmarriage. I would love to chat with you if you have anything you want to say, any questions, anything like that. Feel free to put things in the comments, and we can engage with you in the comments too. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're interested in any more information about formation when it comes to God's design for His humanity, God's design for your body, we at the Theology of the Body Institute have so many resources for you. One of them is in our Patreon community. So it's $10 a month. I'm sure you can find $10 even if you just do it for 1 month. And we have a whole Theology of the Body for Teens series in there that I think you would really love, really, really, really love. So those are my thoughts. I hope you're still watching this video. And I hope you come back and watch more. And until next time, stay close to the heart of Jesus and be not afraid. Bye.